You got your Bibles? Let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 6. I want to begin reading in verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse 4. The Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house and when thou walkest by the way and when thou liest down and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as a as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name." I want to preach on this passage of Scripture this morning. I'll just be honest with you. I feel led that we should look at this passage. And I've got a few little things here. I want to show you how this passage of Scripture. But here we see that we know the story of the Promised Land. And we know that Moses was preparing God's people. Amen. And we see here his second address to those people. He was giving them some instruction. And boy, I'm glad that we see all throughout the Bible, people was giving instruction. They wasn't just thrown into the mess. Amen. That we see here that Moses was giving the people some instruction about how to enter the Promised Land. And he opens up there in verse number 5. He said, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Amen. Now that's a given. Amen. If you're a child of God and has experienced true salvation, that should be your first priority. Amen. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Listen, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have anything. We wouldn't be nobody. Amen. I'm glad of that this morning. But he says here, he tells the people, preparing them to enter into the Promised Land. He says, listen, you need to love the Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He said, listen, this is of importance, or he wouldn't have stressed it. Amen. But he goes on down, and I'm going to skip down a little bit, and he talks about how the children should be and how they should obey and hear and listen to instruction. And we see that we saw how the children of Israel, that they listened to God, they listened to Moses a little while, and then what happened? Well, things started getting bad. And just like a bunch of old Baptists, they started murmuring, amen? They started wondering, they started questioning, they started doubting. Don't that sound familiar? You may not want to admit it, but if you're honest with God this morning, we've all done that at some point in time in our life. We've wondered, we've questioned, we've even doubted. We've even got angry, amen, if we'll just be honest. But he's saying here, just hold on and listen, because the time has come. God already promised his people, amen. Yeah. When God makes a promise, he keeps it. He don't go back on his word. He don't go back. He don't compromise. He don't go halfway. He goes all the way, amen. He gives 100%. Boy, I'm glad he's not like us. I'm glad he's not like us, and that we'll give 100% when it's Sunday or when it's Wednesday, but you let us go through the week and see us out on the streets, how much of God is in us, amen? God gives it all to us. He made a promise. Bless God, he's going to keep it. He's going to take his people on to the other side. He said, listen, you are my chosen people. I'm going to take care of you. You know what's good about that? You're the same way if you're a child of God. He's going to take care of it. But listen, as he goes on down, I want to go on down to verse 10. He said, "And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities." Boy, he's a building them up, amen. He's a building them up. Listen, he's saying, you're fixing to go into a goodly city, a city that's full of everything. But here's the kicker. Verse 11, "And houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Here's what I want to preach on. Verse 12. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord.
Amen.
I want to preach on this thought this morning. Are you forgetting something? Oftentimes, church, it's easy for us to forget who got us here. Amen. And let me tell you this. It's a whole lot easier to forget God when everything's going good than when everything's bad. Because listen, when everything's bad, when you're at the bottom of the barrel, you want God. Amen. You expect Him to be there. You expect Him to come and pull you back up. But when everything's smooth sailing, when everything's going good, the money's coming in, the job's going good, family's healthy, everything's going good, we'll put Him to the side. Moses was telling the people, listen, the place you're fixing to go here, it's going to be wells full, springing up of water that you didn't dig. God did. He said there's going to be trees, olive trees, planted that you didn't plant. God did. Amen. What all does He say here? We see all these things that He tells is going to happen. Houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not. God did. Amen. Sometimes, church, we forget about just how good God's been to us. Sometimes we forget about just how good God is. Amen. Listen, how we sitting there, me and Darren are sitting there, and this young man is singing the song, and I was just thinking back this week, we've been going through a tough time trying to help a lady at church, and 2 days ago, I was at wit's end, and it seems like just within 24 hours, blessings have come pouring in. People's come to help and helping time, doing good Christian service. Amen. And we know that God's going to prepare a way. But church, let me tell you something. He's warning these people. They're fixing to go in a land that's full and plenty. Amen. There's dangers in plenty. There's dangers in plenty. You go back and look around Noah. Noah survived the flood. Had the whole world. Amen. Had it all. What happened? You go on down and read about Noah. He gave in and began to drink. Amen. Cursed his son Ham. You go about and read Adam over there in Genesis chapter 3 about Adam. What he done. How he had the whole world too. A perfect world without sin. What did he do? He give in to Satan's demise and deception. Sin entered the world. When everything's going good, you better get ready. You better be on guard. You better be ready. You better be watching your back. And let me say this, you better be prayed up. Amen. Israel was promised the promised land. Amen. A land flowing with milk and honey. A land where they were to go and have everything. Just as soon as old faithful Joshua died, what happened? They fell right in with what the Canaanites is doing. Amen. You can go all throughout the Bible, church, and see how people, time and time again, have everything's been good, everything's smooth sailing. And let me say this, I'll be the first to admit it, and I think you will too. God's too good to us. Amen. God is too good to us. He spoils us. I told the church last night, God spoils us. Amen. He gives us what we need. Praise God, there ain't nobody in here naked. There ain't nobody in here underweight. There ain't nobody in here that's, I didn't have a bath this morning or opportunity to take one. There ain't nobody in here that don't have a roof over their head. We are blessed as a child of God, as a country, as a nation, as a world. God spoils us, amen. God spoils us. He gives us what we need, and then He gives us a little extra, amen. He gives us a little more than what we need. He spoils us. If we're not careful, we'll use that against Him. We will. He said, beware. Moses said, beware. And don't forget God. Don't forget God. You remember, turn over to 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Now I preached about things going good. Everything going good. Them having an abundance of everything. Amen. You remember Solomon. Solomon, he had an abundance of power. He had abundance of strength and honor. What happened to him? He gave in to his pagan wives and started following them and worshiping what he'd done. You remember that? You remember David? You remember David, the mighty ruler David. He had a massive army. Was a good, successful leader. What happened? He saw Bathsheba bathing there one day. Everything is going good. He had plenty, amen, but there's dangers in it. He saw Bathsheba. He committed adultery. And not only that, but to cover up and try to smooth up things, he took Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, put him on the front lines and had him killed. Why? Because David had everything going good and forgot about God. Bottom line, 1 Timothy chapter number 6, in verse 6. You know this scripture, but I want you to read it anyway. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, in verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Let me say this. If you want the best of everything, you're treading on thin ice. Amen. If you want the best of everything, you better be happy with what you got. Amen. He said, godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. You ever thought about this? There's three times in our life where we've had nothing in our hands. When we were born, we came into this world, he just sat there with nothing. I remember Job when he was being tried, persecuted, and going through all that that Satan was doing to him. He brought that up. He said, naked I came out of my mother's womb. Amen. When we were born, we came to this world with nothing. What happened? Pretty soon sin started creeping in. Amen. All right, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, praise God, the slate was wiped clean. Amen. We had nothing on our slate right there. We had nothing on our resume. Our slate was wiped clean. But what happened? Our old fleshly bodies, if we're not careful, it'll start adding up. Sin will start. I'm glad we can go back to the altar and get it forgiven. Amen. And then the third and final thing, church, is death. When we go to the grave, we're not going to take anything with us. Amen. All we've got is salvation. The worst thing that's going to happen to us, we're going to be in heaven, amen, with our Lord and Savior, and that's not bad, amen. I'm glad I don't have my hope in this world. I'm glad I don't have stock in everything that this materialistic world has to offer. My stock and my hope is in Jesus, and I'm not about to forget him here on this earth, amen, and you shouldn't either. Listen, God is with us when we don't even realize it. God is with us when everything's going good. God is right there by our side. God's wanting to be a help to us. God's wanting to take that yoke upon him and us learn from him when everything's going good. It's only in the bad times, if we're not careful, that we'll call upon him and need him. He sent Moses, he's giving them a warning. He said, listen, beware. That's a warning, amen. That's a warning. He said, beware. Lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. Let me say this, and I'm trying to hurry on. But I want you to understand this. Without God, we're nothing. You've heard that said, I know. But it's worthy to say it again. Without God, we're nothing. God created everything. The same God. Now listen, this ought to make you happy. The same God that's on your side today, the same God that's living in your heart, the same Holy Ghost that's dwelling inside of you, a child of God, it's the same one that took this earth and created it. He's the same one when you went outside this morning and seen that beautiful sunrise and those beautiful mountains. He took and created all that. Why? He didn't have to. We could get up this morning and it'd be just blue sky, but he took a little clouds and painted it in there to make it pretty for us to enjoy. Why? He is God Almighty, and he's God Almighty on our side, and we never need to forget it. Listen, he said here, he's one of these people, said, it's ironic, it's funny to note that he is warning them about something good that's fixing to happen. Amen? Something good that's fixing to happen. Most of the time, you're warned about something bad that's fixing to happen. A lot of people forget about that. A lot of churches has quit preaching about when everything's going good, you still need to be on guard. Amen? Hey, listen, I believe that we are to be ready. The Bible says to be sober, to be vigilant. We are to be on guard. We are to be ready. But just because everything's going good and smooth sailing, let me say this. Thank you, Lord, for the thought. Listen, a church that's self-sufficient is a church that's treading on thin ice. A church needs to be a church that's depending on God. I don't care if the pews is full. I don't care if the altar is full. If you're not depending on God, if your church is not centered on God, it's treading on thin ice. You better get ready. Your ministry, if your ministry is not dependent upon God, you better be ready. Something's going to happen. Destruction. He said destruction and perdition will come your way if you're not content with what you've got. Listen, he said clothing, raiment, food. We are to be happy with what we got and know that God's with us all the way. He said, I'll go all the way with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And you can count on it. Amen. But this is a warning to you, church. This is a warning to me. I'm no better than anybody else. I'm just saved by God's grace. Amen. Just because God called me to preach doesn't mean I'm up here and you're down here. That's not the way it is. That's not the way it works. I depend on God just as much as you do. Let me say this. A lot of times we don't depend on Him enough. A lot of times we don't spend our the time we need to with our knees bowed, our head bowed, our knees on this altar, getting things right with God. A lot of times we don't spend enough time in that prayer closet praying to God, depending on Him, giving Him the situations, giving Him the burdens, giving Him the good things, giving Him the decisions to make for us. Amen. A lot of people want to thank and use God when times are bad, when burdens come, when tribulation strikes. Listen. God wants to be used when everything's good. God wants to be a part of your life, every part of your life. Amen. You better beware. You say, preacher, why in the world are you going to preach this? I don't know. God laid it upon my heart last night, about 11:30. But I want to mind the Lord and tell you this. There might be somebody here this morning. Everything's going good. Might be somebody listening on the internet. Everything's going good. You're happy. Family's good, job's good, everything's perfect. What did you sing about a while ago? It's not always going to be a bed of roses, amen? It's not always going to be good. It's not always going to be smooth sailing. You better be ready. You better depend on God right now, amen? You better depend on God right now while you've got the right frame of mind. You say, preacher, why you say that? Because sometimes you'll get at wit's end and you'll just cry out and just show full of emotion and you won't get down to business with God. You'll cry out to Him. You'll blame Him. You'll question Him. You'll wonder why He's doing this. You'll whine and cry. Listen, you better depend upon Him now. It'll make it easier in the long run. Amen. Moses gave a warning to the children of Israel. He said, thou shalt, listen, verse 13, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him and shalt swear by His name. Where is it in the Bible? He says, thou shalt not have no other gods before me. He didn't say that just to kill time. He didn't say that just to tickle somebody's ears. He's meaning business. You go on down and read there, he talks about how jealous he gets. Amen. He talks about how jealous of God He is. And boy, I'm glad of that. Amen. I'm a little jealous of Him. We need to be a little jealous of Him, church. When people start putting Him down, we need to stand up. Amen. That's why the world's in the shape it is now. We've sat back. Amen. Listen, church. I'm going to say this and I'll close. It's a warning to us. It's a warning to us. Everything's going good right now. You better depend upon Him and don't forget Him. Don't use God like a spare tire. How many times do you use a spare tire in your vehicle just when you get a flat? Just when you get a flat. God's not that way. God's not intended to be treated that way. God's not the co-pilot. God's the pilot. Amen. God's not the spare tire. He's the front tire. Amen. He's the one leading the way. And we better be following Him.